new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 172. I'm Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Welcome. Today we'll read Acts 23 from the New International Version. Let's begin. Acts chapter 23. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." At this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." Those who were standing near Paul said, "How dare you insult God's high priest?" Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe all these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. "We find nothing wrong with this man," they said. "What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." The next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and the elders and said, "We have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We're ready to kill him before he gets here." But when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the commander. He has something to tell him." So he took him to the commander. The centurion said, "Paul, the prisoner, sent for me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you." The commander took the young man by the hand, drew him aside, and asked, "What is it you want to tell me?" He said, "Some Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin tomorrow on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about him. Don't give it to them, because more than 40 of them are waiting in ambush for him. They have taken an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready now, waiting for your consent to their request." The commander dismissed the young man with this warning, "Don't tell anyone that you have reported this to me." Then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, "Get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. Provide horses for Paul so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix." He wrote a letter as follows, "Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency, Governor Felix. Greetings. This man was seized by the Jews, and they were about to kill him, but I came with my troops and rescued him, for I had learned that he is a Roman citizen. I wanted to know why they were accusing him, so I brought him to their Sanhedrin. I found that the execution had to do with questions about their law, but there was no charge against him that deserved death or imprisonment. When I was informed of a plot to be carried out against the man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to present to you their case against him." So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. The next day they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will hear your case when your accusers get here." Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. May God bless the reading of His Word. Much of this chapter is self-explanatory, though there are fine points to be learned by deeper study than we typically do here, but one thing I'd like to bring out is at the very beginning of the chapter. After Ananias, the high priest, in a fit of rage, orders that Paul be struck in the mouth, and Paul responds with, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." And those standing near Paul chastise him for insulting God's high priest. Now, Paul's response was interesting to me. My inclination would have been to say something like, "Well, it's true, he is a hypocrite and was wrong to order them to hit me, a man who has not been found guilty of any crime." So why do you think Paul did what he did? He said, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" Have you heard the phrase, "respect the office"? Even if you don't respect the man, you should respect the office. That's why it's always a good idea, if you're ever driving and get pulled over by a policeman, to address him or her as officer or sir or ma'am. Even if you think you didn't do anything wrong, respect the office. Well, that's what Paul was doing. He was demonstrating that the office of the high priest was worthy of respect, and he did not want to start a precedent of disrespecting that office. Have a Merry Christmas. This is a day to celebrate the birth of the Messiah. I know that for some of us, Christmas is not a particularly happy time because of family, financial, or other circumstances. I get that. But focus on the birth of the Savior. That is great motivation to celebrate. If you'd like to give me a Christmas gift, how about heading over to lifespringmedia.com/love and clicking on the link I've set up for you there to go write an honest review in the iTunes store for the Lifespring Family Audio Bible. It won't cost you anything but a couple of minutes. Thanks. In addition to the Lifespring Family Audio Bible, I'm posting episodes of the Lifespring Why Christmas Show this week. Check them out at lifespringmedia.com. I posted a video version of one of the episodes on my YouTube channel in case you'd like to check that out too. Just go to youtube.com/lifespringpodcast. I'll be back on Monday. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.